It's time for the book interview.
Boring books, that's all.
Books? Are you nuts?
No, nothing boring here. Money Life will bring you a book that is out right now. A book that will help you learn more about your finances.
A book that would make Ulysses look like it was written in crayon.
Smart books by smart authors that can help you decide how to best manage your money.
It's not a book! It's a weapon!
It's a weapon against making the kind of mistakes that people make in their financial lives. Money Life brings you the books, the authors, and the information to protect you from these missteps and help to keep your financial future secure.
I read your book. I liked it very, very much.
Don't just take it on faith. Hear the authors talk in depth about their books and give you the facts and figures to back up their information.
It's faith. It's the flower of light in the field of darkness. It's giving me the strength to carry on. You understand?
Is that from your book?
No, it's Johnny Cash, Live at Folsom Prison.
That's right. It's book interview time here, and talking about big books and big subjects. Well, my guest is Keith Ashworth Lord. He is the author of Invest in the Best, Applying the Principles of Warren Buffett for Long-Term Investing Success. Now, I could say that he's an author and this is another Buffett book, but Keith is a director at Sanford Deland Asset Management in Manchester, England. And while the book is not dripping in his own glory, he has a great track record of his own, and that is part of what you need to know. Now, if you want to learn more about him and the firm, it's sanford-deland.com. If you want to learn more about the book, it's out from Harriman House, which is harriman-house.com. But better yet, go find Keith on the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page. While you're there, you will find a link direct to the Harriman House page on the book. Keith Ashworth Lord, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you very much.
I have read a whole bunch of books on Warren Buffett. I've seen pretty much everything that's out there over the years. I know a bunch of people that have written them. You have a track record. You are an investor with a track record. And everyone who I know who applies Buffett or invokes Buffett has a few things that are their tweaks, if only because at this point, Buffett has so many things that he can't do anymore. You know, he's now so big that he's not looking at small cap stocks or what have you. So we have to extrapolate his methodology out for others. But I'm curious, why is this sort of you talking about the Buffett method instead of you talking about your method in how you've broadened out Buffett a little bit?
Well, I think what we have to do here is really go back to the mid-1990s when I found myself in a hard place. I really didn't have an investment philosophy. I was all over the place. And I started to do a lot of reading. I read a lot about Ben Graham and a lot about Warren Buffett. Started going over to Omaha every year, got friendly with the Buffettologists over there. And really, I just found that this was a methodology, this whole business perspective investing philosophy was a methodology with which I felt very, very comfortable. And I guess from that, I started to apply those principles and I started to work on aspects of it that seemed to work particularly well for me. So it's quite true what you say about, you know, one develops just as I guess Warren Buffett himself developed from under the tutelage of his mentor, Ben Graham. I always liken it to, you know, Warren Buffett is the sorcerer and I'm the apprentice. And there will be things that he does that I don't do and vice versa. But basically, I just try to stay on those tracks, looking for the greatest businesses I can possibly find according to a predetermined set of criteria that I look for, then to buy those businesses at a price that makes business sense, i.e. I'm getting more in value than I'm paying for in price. And once I've got a great business, I'm very loath to sell it. So I really do have the investment activity of a sloth. I just do not like selling.
Okay. And that makes tremendous sense. One thing that you have that is different from Buffett. While Buffett takes a worldview, Buffett is a domestic investor, and he's domestic to my audience. He's domestic here. You are more of a global investor. And of course, being across the pond, you are domestic to your own country as well. Mm-hmm. I'm curious because as we see the evolution of markets and globalization, one of the key things to the Ben Graham, Warren Buffett, and Keith Ashworth Lord style is trusting the numbers and understanding valuations. How much,
indeed,
when you are looking at evaluations and you start to broaden this out to the rest of the world, how much do you believe value investors can trust the valuations they are getting in a market in markets around the world that don't have the benefits of the long-established SEC here and the regulators that you have in Great Britain? How good are the numbers if you're going to apply a Buffett strategy when you start to look in some other markets that are opening up around the world?
I think that's a great question, and I think the answer is quite simple, that whilst in Europe we have IFRS and you have US GAAP over there, the fact of the matter is that these regimes, these accounting regimes, are a lot more robust than what you will find in shall we just say, lesser regulated markets. Now, from my perspective, that doesn't matter, because I invest wholly in UK companies. I can go abroad to 20% of the portfolio, but I haven't chosen to. But what the key thing is, the key global impact on my portfolio is that a lot of the, well, in fact, 20 of the 29 companies that I have in the portfolio are major exporters or businesses that have major operations in either North America, continental Europe, or Asia Pacific. And that's where my exposure to these other markets comes. It doesn't come in a direct sense from investing in companies that are listed on those markets. So there's a bit of a subtle difference there. But I would say for definite that, for investors looking to invest in third world markets for a start, emerging markets, you know, it must be very difficult. How much can you rely on the accounting, on the figures? You know, we've seen it in China with one or two things where, the accounting was less than robust. So I think in that sense, it's difficult for us in the UK. For you guys in the States, it's much, much easier.
You know, you talked about you're a sloth when it comes to selling, but you are also exceptionally choosy when it comes to buying. You mentioned, 29 stocks, etc. Do you believe that one of the things that is moving people away from Buffett-like investing is that, hey, the investing world's got a lot more options, it's got a lot more choices, and people somehow think that more is better, and we're making this overcomplicated?
Yes, completely. I couldn't agree more with that. I mean, I've got a universe of about 2,500, 3,000 companies here in the UK that I could theoretically invest in. I tell you now, most of them are rubbish. You know, 90% of that market is uninvestable in my terms. And of the remainder that is, it's getting the business at the right price. That's often the key factor, you know, the sort of key factor as to why you're not investing. So, yes, I'm very, very choosy about what I want to invest in. And having decided on a company that I want to invest in, then I am even more choosy about what price I'm prepared to pay for it. And that's one of the reasons why, as I said, I've only got 29 companies in the portfolio out of that whole investable universe. But I think there's another angle to this, you know. I think a lot of people like excitement. You know, as far as I'm concerned, spare me the excitement. But they like excitement, and they see this whole long-term buy-and-hold regime and business perspective investing where you drill so far down into companies. They find it boring, and they're always looking for the latest high, what's the latest hot stock, and chopping and changing their portfolios. And that is not the way to do it. That's not investment. Investment is what I say, finding the best businesses, buying them at a sensible price, and then just letting the operating results tell you how the business is doing, and let that wonderful thing called compounding, which Einstein called the eighth wonder of the world, let that happen by just holding on to the stocks, unless there's a very good reason, something's changed or you've made a mistake or something.
One of the chapters in your book is a good, strong reminder that cash is king. In a world where cash may still be king, but it's earning pretty much nothing, does that ever, the precepts never change regardless of the conditions around the market, correct? That's part of the lesson,
correct,
that we're being taught right now, is that cash, even if it's making you nothing, is still that important, right? Explain why.
Yes. Well, accounting earnings are very easily manipulated. What figure shows up in the accounts is often decided in the finance director's office, and they have a lot of leeway for what they charge as expenses or capitalize into the balance sheet or fiddle around with in various ways. So you can almost make accounting earnings within reason be what you want them to be. Now, the same is not true of cash. Cash is fact. Cash is the gold standard. And try as you might, you cannot fudge the cash position of a company, the cash generating profile of a company over a period of time, because you just can't. I mean, it just will not work that way. So in other words, the number you see in the cash flow statement year after year after year, you can rely on. As I said earlier, it's the gold standard, and accounting earnings are not. And if you want the proof of the pudding there, you just think about how many companies have gone bust despite the fact they've been reporting good profits and good earnings. You know, there are a lot of them. No company ever goes bust generating cash.
You know, somebody asked me recently about Warren Buffett and the fact that at some point, Warren's not going to be here anymore, and he is an older gentleman. And they said, how big a void will it leave? I'm curious. In your opinion, will our grandchildren or great-grandchildren, people 100 years from now, will there still be some segment of people investing the Warren Buffett way and still finding themselves generally more successful than the average person who is rooting around and maybe going after what's hot?
Well, I sincerely hope so, because you know, as a methodology, this system works. You know, and anybody who doubts that should just go back to that Appendix 1 to Benjamin Graham's Intelligent Investor, which Warren Buffett wrote. It's entitled The Super Investors of Graham and Doddsville. And there you've got like 10 guys all with very different portfolios who year in, year out battered the S&P. And as I say, they did it with a very different portfolio. Their only real common factor was that Ben Graham was their true north on the investment compass. So it's a system that works. It's a system that works better for certain people of a persuasion. And that persuasion is, first of all, being very disciplined, and secondly, being very patient. You must be wired like that in order to get the best out of this system. But will it ever go out of fashion? Well, this is Warren Buffett speaking. He said, you know, I've not seen any trend toward value investing going out of fashion in the last 35 years, but equally he hadn't seen any trend sort of increasing, people increasingly going that way. My own view is it will always appeal to some people. It might be a bit of a minority sport. You know, I don't think we are we're certainly not the size of the momentum investing movement or things like that. But to me, I think there will always be a place for this system and value investing 50 years, 100 years down the road.
Well, I am hopeful of that. I hope that it somehow doesn't get beaten out by all of the other stuff that comes in the market that makes it difficult to do, because it should be the safe haven for investors. It's why the book is really an interesting read as well. A great take on the Buffett stuff. Keith Ashworth-Lord, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Thank you very much for your time.
Keith Ashworth-Lord is author of Invest in the Best, Applying the Principles of Warren Buffett for Long-Term Investing Success. It's out now from Harriman House. He's also director at Sanford DeLand Asset Management. So for more information, sanford-deland.com, harriman-house.com. For a link direct to the book, go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page. All right, we just hit the halfway pole on today's show. But hey, it's Monday, and you know what that means. Coming up next,
danger, danger.
David Trainer will be here for the Danger Zone. So settle back and relax. We're living the money life, and there's much more to go.